This is the More Than Right podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Lopez. He's hard-pressed to utter comprehensible sentences, especially since suffering a stroke during his successful 2022 Pennsylvania Senate race against TV personality and surgeon Dr. Mehmet Oz. Of course, I'm speaking of that peculiar anti-fashionista, Democratic Senator John Fetterman. Looking like he was heading to the mall for a day of video arcade fun, Fetterman entered the Pittsburgh watering hole Shorty's Pins and Pints. That's when he was approached by self-satisfied human rights attorney Dan Kovalik.
I'm just asking you. You're a good guy. I voted for you. I know you're a nice guy. This is important.
You need to leave.
Here, can I give you a pint?
Kovalik was unceremoniously tossed from the bar before he ever got a word out edgewise, or was able to hand Fetterman a wad of papers. But it was later reported Kovalik confronted Fetterman for his support of Israel in its war to eradicate the genocidal monsters of the Gaza Strip, Hamas. Appearing on the Katie Helper show, Kovalik explained that the papers he failed to hand Fetterman were the typical leftist tripe portraying Jew-hating Hamas and the Palestinians who support them as victims.
There was a very short paper we did. It was a little leaflet that we did that was going through the, you know, basically what's happened, the water and electricity being cut off, thousands of people that died, the children that have died. It was a little information brochure, again, which he wouldn't take, which is quite, you know, again, I don't want to over-exaggerate what happened, but it was disappointing. Let's just put it that way.
He emphasized the positive effect recent anti-Israel protests have had on behalf of Hamas.
And I do think these protests are important. I think they are making a difference. And maybe the difference is between 10,000 people dying and 50,000 people dying in the end. I don't know. But the point is, it's worth it to save that extra amount of people, you know. And I do think that we have the power to do that. And that's why, you know, I confronted Fetterman. I mean, I'm trying to protest any way I can. I mean, I just can't watch these videos and that we're all watching and the babies being pulled out of rubble and whatnot.
Speaking of pro-Palestinian protests, a group of Cooper Union Jewish students were forced to barricade themselves inside the university library as pro-Hamas protesters banged on the doors and windows, shouting anti-Semitic slurs. At no time did university security call the police. According to news reports, New York City authorities quietly urged ultra-Orthodox Jews living in Crown Heights to shelter in place while a pro-Hamas protest occurred nearby. You see, Orthodox Jews do not use vehicles or electricity on the Sabbath and walk to temple. During the protest, demonstrators chanted a familiar Hamas slogan, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." According to New York Post columnist John Podhoretz, quote, "In 2023, 3 weeks after Jews in Israel were set upon by marauders who murdered 1,400 and injured nearly three times that many, in cities around the world and now in New York, the Jews outside Israel are under attack as never before in recent history, rather than finding themselves protected as never before. No, they must stay inside," unquote. Getting back to Kovalik's confrontation with Senator Fetterman, at no time did Kovalik mention the reason for Israel's ground invasion of the Gaza Strip. This can only mean he supports Hamas's butchering of Jews. Like so many in America's liberal establishment and hard left, they view Israel as whites oppressing people of color. This puts traditionally pro-Israel Democrats like Fetterman in a vulnerable position considering his party's affinity for deranged identity politics. Unlike the immigrants of the past, this new breed of immigrant refuses to assimilate and adopt the traditions of American tolerance. Instead, they demand our nation yield to their anti-Semitic hatreds. But this crowded moment should inspire some tough self-reflection on the part of Jews, now hiding in place. Why, they should ask themselves, should I continue voting for a Democratic Party that is moving inexorably in the direction of radical anti-Semitism? That's a very serious question, asked by Fox News funny man Greg Gutfeld.
Jewish Democrats woke up October 8th and found that all their allies that they supported now see them as part of the problem. You know, Jewish voters went against Trump 3-1. How did that work out? And all those people that you supported on the street and in social media and GoFundMe, now they're saying, sorry, Jews, we mean you too. They think you're white, even if you don't. You are now part of the white patriarchy that seeks to marginalize people of color. So how did that happen? How did that happen? Well, who needs a race-baiting industry when you excel? The Jews didn't need it, right? And ironically, it's the race-baiting industry that keeps you down, right? If you label people a victim, they stay victims. Instead, you should be emulating Jews instead of trying to hate them. Anyway, my advice to Jewish Democrats, leave. You're being held hostage by that party. Come over here. The water's warm and it's safe.
In his letter of 1790 to the Hebrew congregation of Newport, Rhode Island, President George Washington described America as a place where, quote, everyone shall sit in safety under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid, unquote. That America is dying. Unfettered immigration has changed the character of our nation, and those now entering America, both legally and illegally, will erode the essence of what it means to be an American. Back in 2021, FBI Director Christopher Wray addressed a fear peddled by Democrats and the mainstream media that white supremacy was the number one threat to the homeland.
Racially motivated violent extremism, specifically of the sort that advocates for the superiority of the white race, is a persistent, evolving threat. It's the biggest chunk of our racially motivated violent extremism cases, for sure. And racially motivated violent extremism is the biggest chunk of our domestic terrorism portfolio, if you will, overall. I will also say that the same group of people we're talking about have been responsible for the most lethal attacks over the last, say, decade.
But that narrative shifted dramatically following Israel's military moves against Hamas terrorists operating in the Gaza Strip. In the U.S. and around the world, pro-Palestinian demonstrators showed Hamas's butchering of Jews and Americans have supporters amongst the Islamist immigrant populations of the West. Last September, House Subcommittee on Immigration Integrity, Security, and Enforcement Chairman Tom McClintock highlighted the frightening reality emerging from our porous southern border.
Under the open border policies of the Democrats, if you illegally enter this country, seek out a Border Patrol agent, and make a false asylum claim, you will almost certainly be released into our country. You will get taxpayer-funded travel wherever you want to go and lots of free stuff, including cash, food, free medical care, and even education. So, why would 1.7 million illegal aliens want to evade the Border Patrol? We do know that among those aliens the Border Patrol has apprehended, the number of suspected terrorists has increased exponentially. In 2021, we stopped 15 of them. That was five times the number encountered in 2020, and as many as we had stopped in the four previous years combined. By 2022, that number grew to 98. And in the first 10 months of this year, that number has already grown to 146, a tenfold increase in 2 years. In June, FBI Director Chris Wray testified before this committee that there has been an uptick in, quote, known or suspected terrorists coming across the southern border, and that, quote, the southern border represents a massive security threat. Those are his words. a massive security threat. In August, we learned that a foreign national with ties to ISA helped smuggle over 120 nationals of Uzbekistan, Russia, Georgia, and Chechnya into the United States through the southwest border. Press reports indicated that the FBI was, quote, scrambling to find the smuggled individuals since the Biden administration had released them into the U.S. And, of course, this begs the question, if illegal aliens are so carefully vetted, as Mr. Mayorkas has repeatedly assured this committee, why would the FBI be scrambling to find them? Clearly, very bad actors are entering our country through our open southwest border, and I'm afraid something terrible is brewing.
As McClintock mentioned in his statement, the terrorist element streaming across the U.S. southern border, coupled with Israel's war on Hamas, focused the attention of FBI Director Wray.
The reality is that the terrorism threat has been elevated throughout 2023, but the ongoing war in the Middle East has raised the threat of an attack against Americans in the United States to a whole nother level. Since the horrific terrorist attacks committed by Hamas against innocent people in Israel a few weeks ago, we've been working around the clock to support our partners there and to protect Americans here at home. We assess that the actions of Hamas and its allies will serve as an inspiration, the likes of which we haven't seen since ISIS launched its so-called caliphate several years ago. In just the past few weeks, multiple foreign terrorist organizations have called for attacks against Americans and the West. Al-Qaeda issued its most specific call to attack the United States in the last 5 years. ISIS urged its followers to target Jewish communities in the United States and Europe. Hezbollah has publicly expressed its support for Hamas and threatened to attack U.S. interests in the Middle East. Here in the United States, our most immediate concern is that violent extremists, individuals or small groups, will draw inspiration from the events in the Middle East to carry out attacks against Americans going about their daily lives. That includes not just homegrown violent extremists inspired by a foreign terrorist organization. On top of the homegrown violent extremists and domestic violent extremist threat, we also cannot and do not discount the possibility that Hamas or another foreign terrorist organization may exploit the current conflict to conduct attacks here on our own soil. But it's not just Hamas. As the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, the Iranians, for instance, have directly or by hiring criminals mounted assassination attempts against dissidents and high-ranking current and former U.S. government officials, including right here on American soil. And along those lines, Hezbollah, Iran's primary strategic partner, has a history of seeding operatives and infrastructure, obtaining money and weapons, and spying in this country going back years. Given that disturbing history, we are keeping a close eye on what impact recent events may have on those groups' intentions here in the United States and how those intentions might evolve.
What a difference a horrific massacre of Israelis and Americans has made in the mind of America's top cop. In recent years, the FBI has been distracted from its purpose by its weaponization under the Obama and Biden administrations. U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland infamously directed the Justice Department and FBI to investigate concerned parents for their heated confrontations at school board meetings triggered by inappropriate racial and sexual curriculum. And FBI whistleblowers have told House Republicans investigating the Biden family's selling of influence to foreign entities of the FBI's role in obstructing criminal investigations into the matter. And who can forget the FBI's crossfire hurricane counterintelligence investigation of President Donald Trump based on flimsy evidence manufactured by the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign? The point is, the FBI has been too focused on obstructing investigations of Democrats and targeting their domestic enemies to worry about protecting the homeland from another 9/11 attack. But the domestic support Hamas has amassed for its atrocities, even among some Democratic lawmakers, is a cold slap in the face to those like FBI Director Wray, President Joe Biden, and the mainstream media. The same folks who've been peddling the phony narrative about white supremacy in America, by which they really mean Trump supporters. Imagination, said Alice in Wonderland author Lewis Carroll, is the only weapon in the war against reality. The reality of Hamas's barbaric attacks in Israel, coupled with the unintended consequences of the West's foolish immigration policies, present a massive challenge to the people of the civilized world, if not to their deluded governments. The question is whether Hamas's butchery will disabuse the decent among us of the politically infantile and dangerous notions surrounding much-touted diversity, a clearly discredited ideology that suggests we must open our homeland to those who do not and never will share our values. Lessons will come. Unfortunately, they will come with a cost, in blood, maybe rivers of it. And since nothing quickens the mind like a near-death experience, perhaps that quickening will force Americans to finally focus on the immigration policies espoused by the representatives they send to Washington. That means voting like your life depends on it, because it most certainly does. That concludes this edition of the More Than Right podcast. If you feel so inclined, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, this is Steve Lopez.